But the last time I preached on this set of readings was 6 years ago on Vestry Sunday. And last time I began with a little selection from Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, especially Pharaoh, because I played Pharaoh in a production of it once. But I'm not doing that today. Instead of tunes, I've fixated on words this week. Some of you may have noticed over the past years that I try to be even more careful with language than I was before. It's not just that I have a love of words and want to use the right words at the right time, though, to be honest, my pedantry is high enough that I do have a high regard for certain use of words. And I confess, I get really irritated by the wrong use of words and phrases. For instance, holding down the fort. It's not an inflatable fort. It's not going to blow away. Hold the fort. Or how about I could care less? I could, thank you. I couldn't care less. Doesn't even make sense if we're talking about things we don't care about. I could care less. Well, care less then. And it's specifically, not pacifically. I'd better calm down now. I could be here all day. Okay. Breathe. Where was I? Choice of words. You may have noticed I choose to say siblings instead of brothers and sisters because I'm learning to recognize the non-binary nature of gender. As Bishop, and I choose, as Bishop Anna has encouraged us to, not to refer to Mary, the mother of Jesus, as to whether, by whether she's had sex or not. And this is my point here. I'm trying not to say but when I write or when I respond to people with a different point of view. I'm trying to discipline myself to saying and. But to my mind is a kind of closing down. And I've heard your view, but now you're getting mine. Whereas if I say and, I can say, and there is another way we could look at this. And I've got some learning to do. And I'm trying to listen to what you've just expressed to me. And so, why the long linguistic preamble? And this involves quite a lot of self-editing, you may ask. Well, it may help to know a little of my motivations in my choices of words, if you've noticed these things over the past months or years. And, see what I did there? It's because of how today's gospel begins. We find ourselves in the middle of a longer collection of teachings by Jesus, which last week were all blessings and woes, and this comes straight from it. And Jesus starts by saying, but I say to you that listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. This is a but that's doing no closing down of anything. In fact, it is a transformative break with what we might naturally want to think or feel. That we should hate our enemies, curse those who curse us, and loathe those who treat us badly and abuse us. The transformation Jesus calls us to is not for his followers to take any abuse or mistreatment dished out to them, but that the cycle of hatred and violence that we as find ourselves so often in can be broken. The prejudice, the exclusion, the abuse, the mistreatment of one another, these cycles are not broken by doing the same thing back. There needs to be a radical, a different break. And that break is love. It is non-violent resistance. As we heard after these opening words, Jesus then tells his hearers to turn the other cheek if slapped. But this is an act of resistance, not a passive acceptance of mistreatment. One interpretation that I believe Andrew Gates taught me, thank you, Andrew, I think it was you, and I find it as an interpretation compelling and entirely consistent with Jesus' teaching, is that when someone slaps someone publicly, they did so with the back of their hand, to dismiss them. To turn the other cheek was to demand that you were treated as an equal, even in mistreatment, that you were not an inferior. To turn the cheek is to challenge the one who slapped you. Jesus does not encourage us to be doormats, nor does he encourage us to fight fire with fire. Our perspective is to be informed by the transformative power of love. Love which will first of all transform us, and then we'll have the power, if we let it, to transform the world. And if we ever needed to hear that, we need to hear it now. We can react to every whim and pronouncement of the orange dictator south of the border, and to the fundamentalists and nationalists that empower and manipulate him. We can react to everything with anger and vitriol and outrage, upping the tension. Though, to be clear, it's perfectly fine and right to feel angry about the abuses that we're hearing of, not just coming out of the US, but in India, in Russia, in parts of Africa, in Israel, Palestine, throughout Europe. We can feel angry about it, but we can choose whether we're going to be reactive and buy into this ramping up of hostility, or we can seek to break the cycle. To remind those who see life as a zero-sum game that it does not have to be win-lose, but it can be everybody wins. Love, tough, hard, resilient, gracious love wins. Jesus' words in today's gospel might, to the theology bros, the right-wing so-called Christian nationalists, seem weak, but they are hard words to hear and harder to live by. But that is what anyone who wishes to be a follower of Jesus Christ is to do, as we follow Jesus the pacifist, Jesus the just, Jesus the prophet, Jesus the gracious, both as individuals and as community. Jesus calls us to break the cycle of violence, to break the cycles of hate, of injustice, of prejudice, of poverty, of iniquity. But I say to you that listen, love your enemies. Opens up a possibility of a world embraced by love. A world which steps off the treadmills that we make for ourselves, a world made new by grace, a radical break, a break full of possibilities. Which brings me back to our Hebrew scripture, the reading from Genesis chapter 45, but I'm still not going to sing, you're all right. Genesis 45 talks to us about how we live from or out of our past, how we live in the now and how we live into the future, and it seems appropriate for this Vestry Sunday to be thinking of those themes. This story, as I know I said 6 years ago at this time, for me hinges on a choice that Joseph makes, a choice not to exact revenge upon his brothers for the harm which they did to him. Instead, we see throughout this fable and summarized here Joseph's search for meaning in all that has happened and how he believes that God can make the most even when the worst happens. The story itself is written, of course, like a fairy tale where everything fits together carefully and beautifully despite the pain on the way, and everybody lives happily ever after. But in the way of scripture, such a simplistic reading is not possible. It is clear that this was not an easy journey. It talks of the pain of Jacob, Joseph's father, in believing his son, his favorite, was killed. In today's part of the story, we see the fear which Joseph's brothers hold when Joseph reveals his identity to them. In the wonderfully understated verse 3 of the chapter that we heard today, our translation says, his brothers could not answer him, so dismayed were they at his presence. Other translations are a little clearer. They say, so terrified were they at his presence. His brothers were perhaps afraid of the past. At least that's what this passage says to me. They were living out of their guilt and fear from the past. And it begs the question, how much do we hold on to the past in our community? What are the radical breaks we are being called to make now? What is the resistance to which we are being called in these difficult and dangerous times? And I believe it to be the resistance of art and beauty, the resistance of making community, the resistance of finding joy, the resistance of speaking out, and the resistance of giving voice to those who are being silenced by the current times. What changes do we need to make that possible? What are we being called to hold on to? What are we being called to let go of? It's not a bad thing to hold on to values, experiences, and tradition, but not to hold them as important in themselves, but as important on our journey of transforming love. Gustav Mahler is reputed to have said, "Tradition is not the worship of ashes, but the preservation of fire." It's easy to settle into our attitudes of turning in on ourselves, or I like it this way, I want everything to stay the same. I find myself falling into that same mindset, rather than thinking of what is best for this community, for those beyond these walls, for the world beyond, perhaps even for ourselves if we can get out of our comfort zones. I see in myself and I see in our community, we struggle with the past, the present, and the future. How much is holding on to tradition a celebration of where we come from and a sharing of treasure from the great story of our faith? How much is it clinging on to places of safety in an unsafe world? How much are we willing to allow change to transform and stretch us? How much is too much? I do not have the answers, but the teaching of Jesus in today's gospel and the story of Joseph shows a stark contrast between holding on to the past and holding on to anger and resentment, a stark contrast between the dismayed, terrified, and dumbstruck brothers living in the fear and guilt of their past and the liberated, loving joy of Joseph, able to reveal who he truly is and recognizing God's hand even in painful and difficult times. And we have in our teachings from the gospel a call to a new vision, a liberated, loving, powerful vision. It is, I believe, our message for today, our message for Vestry, our message for our community. Hold on to that which is good. Do not allow the past or even the present to color our path negatively, allowing anxieties, fears, or bad experience to define what we are. Let us open our hearts and our minds to the grace of God, the hope of our shared life, in working together as we continue to grow, to celebrate our life together, and to live the life to which we are called in Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.